jelly. This is the podcast where I tell stories about topics involving Jesus, life, and entertainment to my animals, who for the most part pretend to listen. Squid is faithfully underneath my desk, and Chicken was on my lap, and she has since abandoned me. It is a thrill for me to be the barrier between you and your innermost thoughts. Here we are, episode 3, 430 episodes in 30 days. It is a lofty goal, I will admit. I think I spoke about doing the challenge before evaluating just how much work there is behind it. Yesterday was the 4th, so that was a holiday. I'm gonna get it there. There will be 30 episodes this month. They may come in batches. Who knows? I made the challenge. I accepted the challenge. I just may rise to the challenge, and I might not. I do have an episode for you today. It is a good story. Before we get into that, time for Shut Up and Listen! San Francisco, Independence Day, 1969. Bob Souza and his partner have waited all year for this day. They're smiling despite the oppressive summer heat because it's finally here. He wiped away the sweat from his brow and reached over with an extended lighter. A tiny flame licked the fuse. The firework exploded right there in the mortar, leaving him with burns and loss of mobility. His partner lost his hand. This accident ignited Souza's motivation to pioneer electronic firing in the fireworks industry. And a short time later, Pyro Spectaculars by Souza was established. Today, firework launches are timed by computers using a WAV file that is often paired with music. So we've figured out how to safely launch them, but how exactly do we make them? The business of pyrotechnics means gunpowder and explosives. Gunpowder is said to have been invented in 1000 AD in China, centuries before they invented coronavirus. Europeans developed the fireworks we know today in the Renaissance era. The construction of the firework itself comes down to the right chemicals in the right proportions, such as sulfur, potassium, nitrate, and charcoal. They consist of stars and black powder inside of a shell. Stars are explosives mixed with chemicals that provide color when they explode. The shell or outer casing is made of plastic, heavy paper, or papier-mâché, separated by cardboard. Shells in America and Europe contain stars mixed with black powder in a cylindrical shape, allowing for multiple compartments. Asian fireworks have stars that surround black powder in a spherical shape, which creates symmetry in the air. The essentials are fuel plus an oxidizer for color and effect. Chemicals like strontium, barium, copper, and aluminum can be used. Flash powder, or what I think of as boom pops, can also be included. Some breaks in the explosives are filled with flash powder, creating a loud boom, or what I call the paparazzi effect. Multi-break shells can have several colors at once, three or four, and a salute, or what I call a whistler. Explosive assembly requires anti-static gloves because no one wants the slightest bit of heat at this point. After the compartment is filled, it's capped and shielded from the second compartment with a brown cardboard shock absorber, a corrugated plastic disc, and a plastic spacer, creating a 1.5 second delay, or however long is desired between explosions. Pressure is critical. Sealing too tight will stifle the firework, but it has to be tight enough for the proper delay. The lift charge is a gunpowder bag with a long, fast-action fuse that attaches to the base of the shell. To set off the firework, the main fuse is lit, which simultaneously lights the other fuses inside of the shell, a time delay fuse and a long fuse that is attached to the lift charge. From there, it is a buildup of heat and gas until the explosive shoots out of the launch tube that's surrounded by mortar. 3, 2, 1. Happy 247th birthday, America. You don't look a day over 200. Fun fact, when I make exploding noises, my cat thinks it's playtime. This has been Shut Up and Listen! let's take a short trip. Just a long weekend on a big ship. We can relax, tan, talk, and eat. It's only $200 a person. The Carnival Triumph set sail on Friday, February 8th, 2013 for a jaunt from the States to Mexico and back again in 4 days. No passports needed. However, 2 days into the trip, on the way back, things changed. Sunday, February 10th, 5:16 a.m. Thousands of passengers were in a pleasant slumber after a day of soaking up sun and booze in Cozumel. The ship's second engineer received a call from the bridge.
Fire alarm, diesel 6. Fire alarm, diesel 6.
He rushed to the engine room and the smell of oil stung the inside of his nose as the flammable liquid spurted out of a burst pipe. Oil quickly rose to his ankles. He attempted to shut off the generator, but it was too late. At 5:27 a.m., there was a fire in the engine room. By the time the captain was alerted, so were the guests, with a blaring announcement. At 5:30 a.m., the captain took over and the crew members from Deck A were evacuated as smoke filled the lower rooms. The situation was explained to hungover yet paranoid guests as a quote-unquote smoke issue, but there's nothing to worry about. People talked frantically in the halls about what to do. Blurs of red rushed by them as some had already decided to put on their life vests and were running to the upper decks. In a panic, others followed. Meanwhile, the crew continued to reassure the passengers that all is well and to head back to their rooms. It's no use, though, because exactly a year before this incident, on January 13, 2012, a very similar incident happened with the Costa Concordia ship, and no one wanted a repeat of that. 5:47 a.m., arguably the most pleasant of all pleasant-sounding British women announced, "Folks, there's no need to be going to your muster stations. The situation in the engine room is under control. Please return to your cabins. There's no need to be waiting in your muster stations. Thank you." I don't know what a muster station is, but I'm assuming it's the place that you go to and attempt to muster up the courage on whether or not you're going to jump over the side of the ship in order to survive. 6:04 a.m., the crew is working on restoring power to the vessel, but first, the engine room has to cool down. The guests are told they will be docking in Mexico by Tuesday and Carnival will cover their travel expenses. At this point, most of the passengers are at ease enough to remove their life vests. 9 a.m., the power is out. Over 4,000 people are now stranded at sea. Passengers are getting restless. There is no power, and that means no AC, no stability on the ship, and no running water. Plus, the outside temperature is 82 degrees.
People were using the restroom in little red plastic bags and throwing them out into the hallway.
We were in shock. We were like, I'm not using a red bag.
But the thing is, you just don't eat. You just don't eat.
To not have to use the red bag.
Control of the colon. You just don't eat.
Poop is raining from the ceilings. Poop! The comforting British woman returned to announce the bio bags are specifically for a number two. And if you don't know what a number two is, she clarified the meaning is a poop. She then says, if you need to go number one, which she specifies is a wee, please do it in the shower. Thank you, folks. The drainage system is broken and people begin to hoard food after peeing in the shower and red bagging all day. Unbeknownst to the thousands of passengers, this is day one of five lost at sea. Everyone stay calm, the Coast Guard is coming, rescue ships are coming. One passenger was overdue for dialysis and managed to triumph over the Carnival Triumph by getting herself off of that ship onto another cruise ship, but it was not an easy transfer. It had to be done with stair ropes from one ship to the other. Above angry waves, with the crew reassuring the woman that they'll catch her. One source said a second passenger got out early too due to a pre-existing medical condition. If that's the case, I applaud them both. Why didn't more passengers jump ship? The ocean. She is what she is and she does what she does, as we've seen with the recent submersible Titan tragedy. In that day, the waves were rough. Back in the States, the stranded ship, branded the Fun Ship, was incessantly covered by all media outlets. Meanwhile, the shipwrecked had no idea they were on all of our screens all of the time and had resigned themselves to rigorously scheduled cruise ship activities. broken toilets, suffocating heat, and nonstop bingo. Also, movie nights, courtesy of the emergency power supply, which people were also using to charge their phones. The captain has tugboats coming to literally pull the ship to the closest landmass, which at that point was Progreso, Mexico. He said it would be a slow journey, but they would get there. In celebration that the Triumph will eventually be tugboated to shore, Captain Jack Sparrow declared an open bar. This seemed like a great idea at the time, but of course it wasn't. People went from relieved and happy to drunk and belligerent. Plus, the plumbing still wasn't working, so by now the entire ship smelled like a wee. The open bar lasted just 2 hours. Docking in Mexico became no longer possible since the Triumph had drifted too far away for the tugboats to reach it. They changed course for the coast of Alabama, which would be easier for re-entry since no passengers had passports anyway. Only 210 miles to go. No power on board meant no stabilizers, so the ship floating at a quarter of its normal speed felt like a faulty carnival ride. The good news was the food menu had much more variety than usual, and lines were down from hours and hours to just 10 minutes. The bad news was that the kitchen was being used much more heavily, which created inches of grease on the floor that the crew had to lay pieces of cardboard on top of just so passengers can walk. The power outage crashed the ship's stabilizers, so whenever the ocean rocked, so did the boat, and so did all that stuff that people were doing in the bags in the showers. Human waste splashed everywhere, into the halls and onto the walls. It's like a floating version of London in the 1860s.
We met a couple that we were talking to that said her husband was laying in bed and just the ceiling fell down on him full of
urine, feces, all of that.
Passengers described a feeling not unlike the Hunger Games. February 13th, 110 miles to go to Mobile, Alabama. Tent City had to be dismantled so a helicopter with emergency supplies could land. Several elevators and toilets were repaired. Backup generators were provided. And they had to pause their 45th bingo game of the day to announce a full refund for everyone. Plus $500 and a free Carnival cruise. Everyone is suddenly in a better mood. It's February 14th, 2013. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. The ocean is angry. The harsh waters forced the ship to sail even slower than it had been. By day 5, they finally reach land at 9 p.m. The passengers were treated with another lavish dinner, multiple courses, drinks, and dessert. One passenger told the media swarm that greeted them on their arrival, quote, "We're just tired. We're not even hungry anymore," end quote. After a hellish week that was supposed to be a relaxing 4 days, the passengers were put on buses back to Louisiana and Texas. One of the rescue buses going to New Orleans broke down, but thankfully it was a quick fix.
Come on over!
I'm speechless. It's just really great to finally be back in America and on land.
So I'm angry.
The doctor on the staff can excuse my friend. He can kiss my...
It was the worst experience I've ever had. We thought we were going to die for a little while.
Others relieved.
I'm just happy to be alive. It's quite an ordeal, but we're here.
That last guy sounds like a soldier who just returned from war. I'm just happy to be alive. The cost of repairing the Carnival Triumph was $150 million, and during that repair, it broke free and crashed into another ship. Thankfully, the damage was minor. The Carnival Triumph was renamed Sunrise, probably because few things are as satisfying as doing a number two first thing in the morning. I'm so glad I got to tell you this story. Let me know if you want to know more things that are cruise ship related and or disasters like it. There's no shortage of them. I cannot wait to tell you another. I will see you next Tuesday.
Billy Davey, Polaroidy, 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 Polaroidy,